Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lucy Weston, and thank you for joining me for Chick Flick Chat, a spin-off feature of the popular life and style website, HereWeAreWithLucy.com. It's Tuesday, March 6th, 2012, and this is the Chick Flick Chat recurring coverage of ABC TV's The Bachelor. This week's show features Season 16's episode of The Women Tell All. And boy, did they tell us a lot about themselves. We'll get to that in a minute. If you are new to Chick Flick Chat, this is a review and discussion show where we chat about women's roles and roles for women in film and television. We debate, we dissect, and we dish the details of what we see on screen and what it all means in real life. My co-host, Susan Ragazzo, is on hiatus for this series, and she'll be back soon, so we look forward to that. So right now, it's just you and me. Listeners, I am glad you are here, and if you do like Chick Flick Chat, please remember to share the show, like it on Facebook, tweet it, plus one it. You could follow us on Blog Talk Radio. I truly do appreciate each and every listener and reader of the blog. You know, every tweet, every like, it really means a lot. So thank you for joining me, whether it's live or on demand. You can call in, because we're live right now, to tell me your thoughts about The Women Tell All. And that number is 909-265-9175. Again, that's 909-265-9175. And again, I always give this little prompt. If you listen to the show, and we've had a lot of listeners for The Bachelor season, I'm really excited about that. You all know that I don't pick up callers, and I always get callers on the board. But unless you press number one to talk, I don't surprise you. I do know that I get emails from people who listen to the show at around this time on the East Coast as they drive home. You can dial in from your telephone and actually listen. So you don't necessarily have to be online to listen. And I'm not going to pick up people who are driving. So if you want to speak, please press the number one and I will get to you. In preparing today for this Chick Flick Chat, I kept coming back to one overall message that came out of quote-unquote the performances that we saw last night. If you've been listening to one of these chats or any of them, you know that each week of this Bachelor season, I've kind of come up with a word or a phrase that reflected the theme that emerged from, you know, what we saw in the overall events of each episode. And a few of those in the past few weeks, like episode two, it was the word corniest. And then in episode five, I think it was strikeout. Well, last week, we experienced predictable, more predictable, and most predictable, and that was the phrase, after the repetitive events that took place in Switzerland on the overnight dates. Okay, before we get to this week's theme, please know that we're not here to bash or slander any particular person or persons involved with or appearing on these shows. And if you call in and you want to speak, please keep your comments polite and on topic based on your overall observations, and I will do the same. All right, last night, The Women Tell All. And, you know, at first, I was watching the show, which opened with a shameless plug of the upcoming Bachelor Pad show. And I'm not sure, I missed maybe the first 30 seconds of that promo. I'm not sure whether all those people they were showing were going to be on the next Bachelor Pad or they were just promoting the reunions and trying to figure out who was scoring, you know, TVQ and who would be cast. It was a little unclear. Maybe I missed it. You know, you can email me, or if you're calling in, let me know, clarify. But it did seem, you know, 10 minutes of showing people partying and you know, all the previous for lack of a better word, rejects from the shows. And then you even had Allie, who was one of the bachelorettes there, and Frank showed up, and you had all these things happening. So it's, you know, that was sort of like a promo time that they were making us wait to hear about the Ben Flonick season. But, you know, we had to see this whole advertisement for the producers to make some more money on these people. So, okay, last night, I mentioned the word shameless, and I really do think that the whole 2 hours last night, and you know my feelings about this from, you know, that every week it's 2 hours of making TV so that they can sell advertising. It was a shameless display of bad behavior by everyone, including Chris Harrison and the producers. And the more I kept thinking about it today, I wanted to come up with my theme for tonight's show to talk to you. I think that really it's sort of a phrase, and it's shameless attempts to save one's image. And, you know, it was just, we just kept seeing this happening again and again by everyone who showed up last night. So, okay, we get the girls get introduced, they're there, and it seemed to me that there was definitely a predominant bunch that they gave a lot of airtime to. And again, you know, it's, we get, some people were a little bit more vocal than others, and we see a lot of clips of all, you know, of what we've seen so far throughout all the seasons, the 9 previous episodes, and they start with the clips with Blakely, and you know, right away, Samantha, who, oddly enough, throughout the time that she was on the show, from the first episode through basically when she got booted off by Ben, we never heard a peep out of this girl. And last night, she was in everyone's face and very rambunctious. And just, I don't know if she was reaching out or thinking like this is going to get her on the Bachelor pad or get her more attention. I just thought it was really rude. And the way... You know what, it doesn't matter what I think. It was really rude. It's. I think everybody who was watching it probably felt that she was in everyone, all the other girls' faces. And, you know, Brittany, who was very sweet throughout the show and was the only one who had enough dignity to realize that this was maybe not the man for her, and you know, she decided to leave midway through. I'm not giving anything away. Obviously, everything's been not a spoiler alert. So, she admits that there was no attraction to Ben. And I'm talking about Brittany now. And when Brittany's talking about this, Samantha is challenging her on this. And, you know, again, she's in her face. So not only is Samantha challenging Blakely about bullying and comparing friendships, and it's all this stuff. So she puts Brittany on the defense, and Brittany comes back at her and says, you know, Sam, you're like a chihuahua, you know, because you just don't shut up. And she's doing this barking move with her hands. And it was a lot of... uncalled for behavior. And, you know, I know that this is what gets ratings, but it just makes everyone look very bad, especially as a group of women together in a room. And the producers were cutting to the audience, and you could see the audience snickering and like laughing and jig, you know, and it made them look like they were in on all of this kind of bad behavior. It doesn't necessarily mean that those audience reactions were happening exactly at the time that we're seeing it edited in. So that's one of those things that, you know, it could be for the purpose of the editing, not necessarily what's really happening. So Chantel comes in. Now, Chantel is the girl who was on a previous Bachelor show and was rejected, and it escapes me which show she was on, but she shows up, and she's wearing a very short dress. And it was one of those things that she's a very pretty girl, very attractive, nice figure. But I felt like, well, what is she trying to prove? So here, I think she kind of reveals what she's trying to prove when she tells Chris Harrison, after seeing clips of when she showed up that evening and how mean all of the Ben bachelorettes were to her, to Chantel, she talks about, you know, she tells us that she only got to talk to Ben for like 2 minutes that night, but she got to see these other women for 2 hours. So again, that goes back to what we've been discussing all season, that there's a lot obviously going on that we don't see, and you know, things are a few seconds here and there and can be very misconstrued and, you know, basically taken out of context or edited in any way that you want it to be. And she supposedly really went there thinking that there was a spark between herself and Ben. And you know, what she really, though, last night, I think, showed up for was she talked about, you know, it hurt to hear the names and the criticism, and she felt bullied. So we're getting this word again, bullied. And it was one of those things that they were showing all the clips about people saying that she was unattractive and she was fat or whatever they were saying in these clips, and I'm not condoning it, but they were putting, you know, more oil on the fire and or actually I should say salt on the wound, because she just was, you could see her cringing and it still made her very uncomfortable, which made me think that's why she picked such a short dress to say, like, hey, look at me, you know, I want attention. And I don't know, it just didn't seem, something was off. Well, Emily, you know, Emily the good, smart girl, here we go again, you know, she comes in and she says, you know, there's a right way and a wrong way to come into a room, and, you know, basically criticizing Chantel, who had nothing really to do with the way that whole event happened. And really it's the producers, but they let it be on Chantel. Emily then comes around and she says, you know, but she's telling Chantel, but you're so gorgeous, you're just so beautiful, and we could see that. And so, you know, she insults her on one side of the comment, and on the other side, she's giving her a compliment. Well, Elise also tries to save some face or save her image, and tells Chantel that, you know, I was blindsided when you showed up. Well, that doesn't mean that you have to be mean to someone who shows up. You know, Elise, I'm sorry. So she apologizes to Chantel, and Erica, who was the girl who said, you know, about she was glad that that Chantel had thicker thighs than she herself had. But it's like, and then we have Erica apologizing to Chantel about the thigh comment. And, you know, it's sort of like, well, what is all this? You're going to say what you want on one week, and then you're going to come back, and the women tell, and you're going to apologize. And again, it's a lot of saving, you know, your image and acting shamelessly and badly in another moment in time, but then here you are shamelessly trying to attempt to save your image. So Emily, she gets in the hot seat with Chris Harrison. And during the time, every time they cut to Chris Harrison, it seemed to me that he kept mentioning Courtney's in the wings and Courtney's going to show up and we're going to hear what the women really think about Courtney. And oh, my goodness, it was just over the top against Courtney, or at least presented in a very negative fashion. And, you know, and again, it keeps people in their seats watching the show. And, you know, it's, you're waiting. You're going to wait that commercial out to see what's going to happen on the other side of the commercial. So, you know, they show clips of Emily's experiences with Ben, and she said she really liked him coming into this, which I believe. And then she said, you know, which we all saw, this was not any revelation. I don't think we had any real revelations last night. But she talked about him becoming closed off after she mentioned the issues that she had observed from Courtney. And, you know, we talked about this in previous Chick Flick chats, that, you know, you can't tell somebody, he was already in love with Courtney. Anything anybody would have said, he wasn't not going to hear. So she wasted her time, and we do learn this in the show last night, even from him, that it really should have been just about them. And, you know, she comes around and says, but I wouldn't want, you know, somebody who would go for someone like Courtney. And then she tells about how she was put off by when she did give him the warning in Puerto Rico. He used that phrase, you know, tread lightly. And basically, basically threatened to get rid of her, you know, not give her the rose. It was a veiled threat, but it was definitely a tread lightly, you know, and she was put off by that, and someone that she would really care about or would really care about her wouldn't have said that. Well, that's very true. I only wish that she had realized it when that was happening and had a bit more of a backbone. And, you know, we talked about Emily being a goody two-shoes, and that's an issue over and over again for her that we've seen. Maybe she's coming around. She does seem very sweet. And so Nikki, poor Nikki. Nikki gets in the hot seat. Now, last week, if you heard the Chick Flick chat, we talked about on the elimination of Nikki, where it gets down to the final two women. She was in a white toga-type dress. Well, again, she's in a dress. And actually, this was quite a pretty dress. But if you're going to wear white on camera, you must be itty-bitty, skinny-mini, or you must be in the proper undergarments. Because if you noticed, and if you listened to Chick Flick chat last week about my comments about the white dress she had on, and then you saw it this week, I hope you were thinking, hey, Lucy said you need to wear Spanx under that white dress. Well, again, she needed it. And it was a really pretty dress, and she's such a beautiful girl. And just a little bit of, you know, pulling in would have been perfect for her, because the camera is, it's one of those things that when you're on camera, anything that's a little bit round looks a lot rounder. So if you're busty or you have a little junk in the trunk or whatever it is, anything on camera tends to be rounder. So you want to pull things in. Okay, enough said about the white dress. So, okay, I digress. So she admits that she's in love with Ben. That's no big admission. We all have known that throughout the entire season. And, you know, she does say that maybe it was too comfortable for Ben. And I think that she was onto something there. And it was, but she does admit that she was shocked in Switzerland that she didn't get the rose. And that was in last week's episode, and we just mentioned. You know, it always surprises me when these girls say that they're shocked that they didn't get the rose, because every week, I think the better attitude would be, or the better approach, is to go in thinking, I'm not getting the rose. So that way you plan for the worst, but you hope for the best. And you're not so surprised, and you're not blindsided, and you're not crying and sobbing in the car, and you know, you are going to be on camera. It's a certain psyche. You have to psych yourself up to say, like, all right, if I don't get it, I don't get it. And you cry later when the cameras are off and you're alone in your room. But, okay. So Casey B then gets into the hot seat, and everybody, you know, Casey B is the fan favorite, and people were like, oh, poor Casey B, and, you know, Chris Harrison was speaking to her like, oh, you're America's sweetheart, and I think they're priming the wheel for her to be a bachelorette, although I'm not quite sure that is, it's something that she would, from her background and her family, I don't know if it would be a good fit. Maybe, we'll see what comes down the pike. So she was saying that Ben was very good at reassuring her along the way. And I do believe that that's very true. And we did see many times where he was saying, you know, he went and he found her once in one of the episodes, maybe the fourth or fifth episode, and he brought her back to his room and they had time alone. And, you know, and it's one of those things that she bought into it and she did fall in love with him. And again, you know, she says she was completely blindsided by not getting the rose. And that was another surprise. So we have this constant, you know, recurring theme going on where all these girls think that they're the one, but it's what's in their head, not what's in his head. So in Switzerland, she did show up again, and we know what happened there, and she gave him the warning about Courtney, and she does admit that she had a slight hope that maybe he had made a mistake in you know, eliminating her, but she realizes that there is a big difference between them and that she's ready for love with the right person this time. And that made me think that, oh, she's moved on a bit, and okay, good for her. So now we get to Courtney, who they keep cutting to on camera. She's in the off stage in the wings waiting, and she's by herself, and she's obviously looking very stressed, and she's pacing. So they're building up this supposed tension, and Courtney comes out and she sits in the seat, and she's very, you know, she's nervous, and it's anybody would be. And she starts to say how hard it's been, and then they open the floor up to all the women. And this was really just, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, and I know she wreaked a lot of havoc in the house, at least from what we saw, but it's just, there's no reason to keep, you know, kicking her. And Casey B says, you know, she was two people. Nikki says that she has a problem with Courtney, saying that she tried with the girls. And, you know, but you only have your individual experience with her. You can't speak for these other women. So who knows? Maybe Courtney thinks she did try with some other women. And then Casey S. actually comes to Courtney's defense and says that she's been consistently a sweet, sincere friend to her. And that was nice to see, that somebody actually had enough nerve to stand out and stand up for Courtney. And I'm not saying whether Courtney is right or wrong, but there's a certain way to handle things. And Samantha you know, she was just all over it. And she makes this quote, she was in it to win it. Well, now, Samantha, we know, is a pageant girl. I met a number of pageant girls over the years, and I have to say that none of them go into a pageant thinking they're going to lose. They're all in it to win it. And when Samantha came on this show, I will bet dollars to donuts that she was in it to win it. So why is it so bad that Courtney's in it to win it? Isn't that why they're all there? There are 25 girls competing with Ben. So you have this juxtaposition going on where it's like, oh, it's wrong for Courtney, but it's okay for us because we're the sweet girls who got eliminated. No, it's not. You know, there's things happening here that makes women look very catty and very judgmental of each other, and there was very little self-reflection going on that panel last night of the 20, I guess it would be 23 women sitting there. Although I did think one or two was missing, so maybe there were a couple less girls. So Emily says, you know, some people, with some people she was charming, and then there were these two personalities, and Monica calls Courtney vapid and some other choice names, and Jamie says that she did see a connection between Courtney and Ben, and I think we all saw it, at least we saw it from Ben's side, and what Courtney presented to them, you know, in front of them, but a lot of the time that Ben had with Courtney was away from the other girls, and she took advantage of that timing, and that's how you play the game, basically. Whether you're on a television show or not, you want to get, if you're trying to catch a man, you want to get alone time with him. So, okay, Courtney does admit that, she's terrified sitting there in that chair, and Chris Harrison is sort of giving her the needle about this, and she says she's disappointed in herself and the way she acted, and she felt like the other girls didn't like her from the get-go, and the other women are sitting there laughing and like smirking and rolling their eyes, and Blakely jumps out, basically, I thought she was going to come out of her seat and say, like, why, how could you call me a stripper? And again, saving her image, saving herself. And Emily, Courtney really just apologizes to that. And, you know, listen, everybody says stuff. They've all said stuff about each other. And we saw that throughout the season. It seemed to be very heavily edited and also a lot from Courtney. And she probably said a lot of things she does wish that she could take back and shouldn't have said, but, you know, it's out there. So here we have these apologies happening again, and this seems to be going on in our society, which is interesting that this was really, really reflected in last night's show about, you know, you do something, and then you don't own it. You don't stick to it. You apologize, and then it's supposed to be okay or something. I don't know if it's supposed to be okay. Maybe it is or it isn't. I see people on the board, okay, and I don't see anybody pressing one. So if you're listening and you do want to speak, please remember to press 1. Okay. So Emily, regarding Emily's apology to Courtney when Courtney wouldn't accept the apology, she says, now I should have accepted it. But that's not how she was feeling at the time. So, you know, it makes everything very fluid. Like, well, what? She was supposed to accept it if she didn't really feel like she wanted to accept it. Nobody said she had to accept it. And nobody told Emily to go and apologize. So, and that was, you know, that happened a few weeks ago, I think, when they were in Puerto Rico. That might have happened when they were in Panama City. But, okay. So there were, Courtney says, I was there for Ben the whole time that she was, and that is why she's there. So why is she being condemned for this? You know, it's just not a fair scenario that they put this girl in. I was actually quite surprised that she was there for the show because I don't remember in any of the other seasons that I have followed. And again, as you know, I haven't followed everyone, but when the women tell all, or even the men tell all, I don't think the final two potential picks are ever there. But she was there, and obviously this was her reading. So, you know, it was a very shameful use of her on the show last night. So she, Chris Harrison asks the women in front of Courtney, who believes her? How many of you women believe her? Oh, my God, that was terrible. And, you know, I get, he's there to repair his own image with how the show has handled her. You know, like, oh, see, the women, it wasn't good. And Courtney, she apologizes to Casey B for that comment that she made early on in the season when there was a one-on-one date card given out where she says to Courtney in the clip, you know, how do those words taste coming out of your mouth? Well, you know, is that such a bad thing? I mean, obviously it was a snotty comment. She shouldn't have said it, but now you have to apologize. And nobody owns up to anything. So, all right. So Casey S., the one that has sort of befriended Courtney from what we can tell, you know, she says that Courtney wasn't the only one giving jabs to other people. And I believe that. And we saw that. And anyway, so Emily, to really put the final nail on the coffin for Courtney, says, you know, it's hard for all of us. It was hard for all of us. So we bonded together. I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, she says we made friendships to support each other, and that's how we got by. Well, you know what? That's a really judgmental statement. Maybe this is a person who isn't one that bonds with other people. Maybe she's a loner. Maybe she's not open, you know, and that doesn't make her a bad person. So again, we see like, oh, if you're not with the pack, then there must be something wrong with you. And, you know, instead of giving credence that everyone's different, and maybe the girl did feel ostracized, and that's why she was defensive. And all these other girls, you know, clicking together, and cliques are tough. So Courtney is looking very stressed throughout this whole part of the show, and she says she wants to say she's sorry. She asked for forgiveness. I actually felt really bad for her at that moment. And, you know, this is the hardest thing she had to go to, and she talked through, and she says about her family, that they're having a hard time in the press and all the gossip rags. And so Emily presses her on the forgive and forget statement, you know, because I think Courtney said, like, I don't forgive and I don't forget, when Emily tried to forgive her. And, you know, and there was a point to that. But, you know, Jenna doesn't really say much throughout the entire Women Tell All. But what we do see of Jenna, who we only saw her early on in the first or second episode, was that she was very coherent and calm. So obviously when alcohol isn't involved, it's, you know, it's a good thing for her. All right. Blakely again wants Courtney to take back that stripper comment. She's going on and on and on. It's like, all right, Blakely, we don't think you're a stripper, okay? It's okay. And even if you are, who cares, really? So Courtney starts crying. She says, I take it all back. I cared for Ben, and I still do. Very key statement, because she said, I cared in the past tense for Ben, and I still do. Well, what does that mean? You know, that we could take it both ways. I cared for Ben then. I still do. I'm engaged to him, you know, or I cared for him. We got engaged, and now we're not. I don't know if the rumors are true. I don't know that they are. So, you know, please don't send me emails telling me that I gave it away, because I'm not giving it away. I don't know who he picks. So the women are all looking disbelievingly at her and snickering, and then Courtney, we see her leave. She gets in a car and she drives away. We don't see any follow-up footage of her in the car. Ben comes out for what was probably the quickest Bachelor revisit of all the women I've ever seen. And Jennifer actually has the nerve to say, why did Blakely have that I didn't have? And again, saving her image about being rejected. And then, you know, he explains to the girls that it's about seeing that person after the show, you know, that you can see the future and with them. And then to Emily, he says, you know, I'd hoped we'd focus on what we had. And oh, please. He didn't care one iota about what Emily had to say. He has been in love with Courtney from the beginning. And throughout this whole show, nobody's really mentioning Lindsay. So Nikki says to him, you are the best man I've ever met in my life. And he says to her, you are clearly an incredible woman and nurturing. Well, that's how he sees her. She's the nurturer. She's the mother figure. This is what we talked about last week. She did not get his juices flowing. So anyway, Jamie does something really like, oh, my God, Jamie, no. You've already embarrassed yourself enough with that fake kissing class, whatever she gave him. And she says, she starts tearing up, and she says, I think you're fabulous. And if it doesn't work out with whoever you pick, you know, I'm available. Oh, please, Jamie, no. Have some self-respect, girl. So all right, the show basically closes last night with seeing the whole montage of the relationship with Ben and Courtney, and then a montage of the relationship with Ben and Lindsay, the final two women. And Casey and Bea and Nikki are holding hands throughout this like it's some terrible traumatic thing that they're going to see. And, you know, Chris Harrison tells us it's the most controversial ending ever of The Bachelor. Well, we're going to see what happens. My final pick, obviously, I think I've been saying this all along, I think it is going to be Courtney and not Lindsay. We're going to see. Listeners, thank you so much for sharing part of your busy day with me. I really do enjoy these chats, and I do appreciate every listener and reader, and I feel lucky that you've joined me. Remember to come by, subscribe to Here We Are with Lucy, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com, Here We Are with Lucy, and that's Lucy with an I. You know, we know you're busy, and we prefer only to give you quality and don't give you a lot of quantity. What we give you are good tips that you can use in your daily life and make your life a little bit better, brighter, and easier. Come back next week as we review and discuss the final rose. That should be exciting. And we will see you then. I'm Lucy Weston, and I look forward to chatting with you next week on Chick Flick Chat.